Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Well, these are not easy moments here. You know what this world is going through, what we've seen, and oh my, things that are very difficult to bear in the sense of what we are hearing, the report. But oh my, thank the Lord, we serve a God who is able to deliver us. And that is the bottom line. Our hope is built on Jesus. And yes, kingdoms will come. Kingdoms will fall. Oh yes, all of that is for a moment. But oh my, the kingdom of God is eternal. And if we're in the kingdom of God, then all is well. Praise the Lord. We've got a rock to stand on, a solid rock that is not going to be moved. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you again for this privilege. Oh, God, thank you that we know that you are in our midst. And, oh, God, you are here to help us. Oh, God, to strengthen us, to move in us, to set us free, to deliver us, Lord. Oh, God, to answer the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, you are God and you change not. Though the whims of man may change, God, yet thou art the solid rock. Thou art Christ. Oh, God, our hope is built on thee and thou changest not, oh, Lord. Oh, God, we ask that you be here, Lord. I pray that you talk to us. I pray that you comfort us. I pray, oh, God, that you would, oh, God, give us from thy word, Lord. Give us that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, God, give us a strength that comes from thee, Lord. Help us, oh, Lord, oh, God, not to be removed, oh, Lord, from that hope. Oh, God, but, oh, God, put it deep within us. So, oh, God, guide, direct, talk to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd have your way here tonight. Oh, God, I'm asking for your help, Lord Jesus. You know the needs of your people, Lord. Now I just pray that you would strengthen. Oh, God, that you'd give hope. Oh, Lord, that you would encourage, Lord. I pray that you would save even to the uttermost. Oh, God, I pray that, oh, God, you would work, Lord. Oh, God, for your hand is not shortened that it cannot save, oh, Lord, and your ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But I know that sin separates, oh, Lord, and I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you would move tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you would strengthen tonight. Oh, God, I pray that your presence would be felt tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I'm trusting, Lord, that you will heal tonight, Lord. Oh, God, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, God, we need you now, Lord. And, oh, God, we thank you for these moments. We thank you that we can gather. We thank you that we can open up thy word. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that it would speak to us tonight. Oh, God, that it would tug at our hearts, that you'd give us what we have need of. Oh, God, that you'd use me, Lord, for thy kingdom's sake. Oh, God, use this word. Oh, let it come forth as you would ordain. Oh, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, for we are sheep. Oh, the sheep of thy pasture, Lord, and we need thy leading. We need thee, Lord Jesus. We could do nothing without thee. I pray that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. You help us one and all. Let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, let him have no place here, Lord, for we give this service over to you, Lord. We ask that you'd be here, Lord, to move in our hearts and our lives. Oh, God, that thy spirit, oh, God, would have its way. Oh, God, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Oh, God, be here to save, to deliver, to heal, Lord. Oh, God, to make thyself known. Oh, yes, that we might feel thy presence. Oh, Lord, that you might come down and help us, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, God, thou art mighty to help us. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message tonight, He is able to deliver. Oh, praise the Lord. He is able to deliver. We know that these are very perilous times. I know my daughter Ruth happened to email me today, and she was just talking about, you know, the goings on, and of course it is confusing. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Little technical difficulty here. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, God. Okay, praise the Lord. That's better. Brother Samuel says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as I was saying, these are very perilous times. And I did have an email from my daughter, Ruth. And oh my, you know, it looked like during the night that I heard the president's speech, and it looked like, you know, until a certain time that, you know, he had won the election, and, you know, it looked fine, you know, I had enough elector votes and everything else to carry, and oh, it was good. But then we know that it sounds like things suddenly changed, and now we hear what we have heard. But oh my, again, you know, these aren't easy things. These are very difficult times, and they have been all year. But as I was beginning to say, my daughter had emailed me, and you know, she was just talking about these times. She's talking about how it is that there are protesters in Portland, Oregon, carrying signs and saying on their signs, America is over. We know that that has been a very troublous place all these many long months, and they've been protesting and everything else for months and months and months. And we know also that Oregon has legalized hard drugs including heroin, and things called magic mushrooms. And you know, it's not only just the marijuana thing, but you know, it's gone beyond that. And we know there on the West Coast that in kindergarten through 12th grade that, you know, they have mandated that sex education be taught, you know, from little on up. It is such a time. Oh, yes, we know that earlier in California, they were burning Bibles from the report that we had. They were burning flags. Oh, my, they were burning vehicles. They were trying to tear down police headquarters. In fact, they tried to do that in Madison, Wisconsin. No, we've seen trouble on every hand. Oh, we've seen it like we've never seen it before. But yet, we know that we have something that never changes. We have a hope in the Lord Jesus that is sure. And we know that we can rest in his promises. And we know that he is able to deliver us. Praise the Lord. I just want to go to 2 Timothy here, just to begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And it goes on to tell us in the 12th verse of this chapter, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And oh yes, I've noted in the scripture how that word deception is such a part of the end times. As Jesus described it and as it is described here in this 13th verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here we are in these times and we've seen such outbreaks of evil. All things that we could never have believed in a lot of ways or never wanted to believe for sure. But here the scripture said it long ago. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh my. Paul went on to encourage in verse 14 as he was encouraging Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We've got the Lord. We've got his word. And praise the Lord, we want to put his word deep in our hearts. I've said it so many times. It's a privilege to be here tonight. Oh my, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. We never did know, but we know right now that these are times that we've never known before. The perils are so great and we've already seen turmoil like we never wanted to see. But oh my, we have these reassurances from God's word. And oh yes, we have the Holy Scripture. And that Holy Scripture, oh yes, is able to make us wise unto salvation. Oh yes, if we could just embrace the Word of God, if we could just obey the Word of God, it's going to carry us through. It's going to be something that we can stand on. It's going to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, verses 16 and 17 here in this chapter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we've got God's word. Oh, yes. That which is profitable for doctrine is contained in this word of life. Oh, yes. That which is needed for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness is all included in this word of God. Oh, yes, that we might be perfect. Oh, yes, that we might get to our goal, that we might find that finish mark. Oh, yes, one of these days and be thoroughly furnished all the attributes that we need in Christ Jesus, obtained through the knowledge of God's word and through the living spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have hope in our God. And I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. Oh, praise the Lord, that power, oh yes, that we have within. Oh, we have reassurances in God's word in a mighty way. Amen. Let's also now go to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2. Praise the Lord. It's going to start out by telling us more about these end times. And of course, even in the times that the apostles lived, they were beginning to see it also, turning away from truth. Oh, they were seeing false prophets and teachers, and it's nothing really new. There were false prophets, there were false teachers among the first covenant people. And I guess it should be no surprise that they are in our midst even to this day. But let's read now as we turn to this second chapter of 2 Peter. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." And of course, we know that when the Israelites went out of Egypt, that, oh yes, there were some that came with them, a mixed crowd that went with the children of Israel out of Egypt. And, oh yes, it seems that the devil used them in many ways, oh, to bring about controversy and trouble and struggles and whatever all. And so this is not something that is new to us right now. But here it tells us, even as there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, I'll tell you, this is quite revealing here. It says, these teachers, these false teachers, these false prophets shall privately, and that means secretly, bring in damnable heresies. Oh, believe me, we have seen that. The heresies, all the perversions of God's word. It's been really something all throughout time, but I believe right now it's like never before. In fact, you can hardly find a solid doctrine that is not perverted by so many. You can hardly find a ministry that teaches the word of God as it is, without bringing out in their own opinions and philosophies. So it has happened, yes, that there have been false prophets and false teachers who privately or secretly bring in damnable heresies. And notice that word damnable. I mean, these are not things that we can, you know, we can allow, frankly. And yet they have been allowed in so many ways. But look, they're going to bring damnation if you give heed and listen to such. And then it mentions even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh my, we never want to deny the Lord. He's our God. And no matter what, He is our God. And we don't ever want to deny Him. We know that Jesus warned of false prophets. And that was something that we read of in the 24th chapter of Matthew. We could just read a few verses from Matthew 24. He said, Jesus, in his discourse here in Matthew 24, said in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, yes, and then he talked about all the other characteristics. And yes, he talked about the time, oh, yes, that would qualify as being the abomination of desolation. Oh, yes, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman army. And praise the Lord, because of Jesus' instructions, the Christians that were in Jerusalem knew that they had to flee. They had to get out of Jerusalem. And it was an amazing thing, because we know the Roman military surrounded that city, and then all at once they left. And praise the Lord, the Christians were aware of this, and they knew that it was time to get out. And praise the Lord, they went. They went to the hills that had been prepared for them, the mountains there in Judea that the Lord Jesus had spoken of in this chapter. And there, yes, they found a place of refuge. But after they fled, We know that the Romans came in and completely took that city down, completely destroyed the temple. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, the destruction, the grief, all the terrible problems that resulted were just immense, indescribable. Great tribulation that had not been known before that time. But oh yes, Jesus went on after he described that. He said in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And yes, I'm not sure if this reference pertains to that time, pertaining to Jerusalem and its demise in 70 AD, or if that refers to this time. Perhaps it could be applicable to both times. But then it tells us in verse 23, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Oh, praise the Lord, and he is coming. Praise the Lord, but we're living in that time. Oh, yes, when we know all kinds of things are in the making in this world. And oh, there are many that even say they are Christ. There are many that are false prophets. And here it talks about signs and wonders that would come forth because of them even. And so cunning, so deceptive that it would be possible to deceive their very elect. But oh my, I believe the Lord is going to preserve his people. Praise the Lord. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But by the grace of God, oh yes, we're going to be able to stand and resist. He's going to make it possible for us not to be deceived at such a time. Oh yes, they could declare that, yes, there's the Christ. He's in the desert. But here we know his word tells us very clearly, go not forth. Well, they might say he's in the secret chambers. Oh, he's in the UN. And we're told here very clearly, very distinctly, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, praise the Lord, he's coming in the clouds. Oh, praise the Lord, it is going to be such a sight that every eye is going to see him. Praise the Lord on the sound of the trumpet. Oh yes, and that great shout. Oh yes, as the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be gathered together with them in the clouds. Oh yes, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. But then, yes, he talks about after the tribulation of those days in verse 29, that the sun is going to be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And oh, I believe this is all going to happen very quickly. I believe we're in tribulation right now. I believe this earth has been in tribulation. Oh yes, ever since Jesus walked this earth. Oh yes, it followed very shortly after he ascended back into heaven. And even in the time that he walked this earth, there was a time of persecution. Praise the Lord. But oh, praise the Lord, that moment is going to be when we're going to see the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to meet our God. We're going to see our God. He's going to, oh yes, come forth. Verse 30 tells us, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Praise the Lord, that great gathering. Oh yes, as all these things come, oh, to their end. The sun darkened, the moon not giving its light. And oh yes, the stars from heaven falling, and all the powers of the heavens shaken. And then, oh yes, the appearance of the Son of God. Praise the Lord, as I said, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords coming in the clouds of heaven, and not, oh yes, unnoticed, unknown. Oh no, he's coming with power and with great glory. Oh, praise the Lord, there's going to be no mistake. Oh yes, and he's going to send forth his angels with that great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect. Oh, praise the Lord. His people gather together at that sound of the trumpet from four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Yes. But yes, we see how Jesus warned that there would be this time of great deception. And oh, yes, how we need to take heed and retain this information, because, oh yes, I believe that spirit of deception is going to be so great that, oh yes, like the scripture tells us, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But oh my, we've got to hang on to the Word of God. Amen. We've got to hide it in our hearts. We've got to love it with all our beings. And oh yes, we don't want to entertain any heresies, any damnable heresies, as it describes here in 2 Peter, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us here in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And oh yes, they're talking about all these deceivers that are coming upon the face of the earth. And it's talking about many being deceived, obviously, and following their pernicious ways. Oh, their evil ways, their abominable ways. Pernicious being ways that would cause great harm and damage, even possibly death or severe injury. Oh my, it tells us, it warns us here, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh, it might be that they might make the true children of God look like heretics. Who knows what they're going to call us, or how they're going to shun us, or how they're going to persecute us. But here we're warned, and it describes them even more in verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Oh my, it talks about them with feigned words or pretentious words making merchandise of the people of God. And you know, I believe that would indicate that they would use God's people for their own gain or advantage, whatever all is their motive. But oh my, there is a judgment pending. And yes, it says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Oh, we know that it was declared. Oh, yes. Oh, Hebrews 10 for one place. Oh, yes, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, it's declared in Hebrews 10:30 that vengeance belongeth unto God. and he will recompense, or other words, he will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And verse 31 in that chapter says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, we want to be right when we stand before God. Oh, we don't want to have any sin or condemnation upon us when we stand before him. It's going to be a fearful thing to stand before the living God. And oh, yes. It tells us, yes, those that make merchandise of God's people and speak evil of the truth and of God's people, and oh, yes, of their pernicious ways, that their damnation, it's going to come. It's sure, it slumbereth not. Amen. And then here in this chapter of 2 Peter 2, it goes on to give us examples of God's vengeance. It says in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Oh, yes, that was quite a moment, you know, in Noah's day. Oh, God, oh, yes, he was up to the head with the wickedness. It was so great, as it tells us in Genesis, that sixth chapter. It was so great that God is seeing that wickedness. It tells us in verse 5 in Genesis 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And verse 6 tells us, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Oh, this was hard to bear. His own creation that had turned such abominable ways, and the wickedness was so great. Their imaginations being evil all the time, continuously. Well, that's pretty horrible when all you can think of is wicked things, wicked thoughts. Oh, and all of that. And you know, sometimes you overhear conversations and you hear the things that are coming out of people's mouths and you wonder, do they ever have a good thought? Do they ever think good things? Do they ever think about God? I don't think these times are much different than the times of Noah's time. And God is so grieved at this willful disobedience, at this wicked, abominable thing that is going on in the world, that it repented him that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And oh yes, he determined, "I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But praise the Lord for one man. Praise the Lord for Noah, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, in spite of the corruption and the earth being filled with violence, God had a plan to spare the earth. And oh, yes, he gave his plan to Noah, who carried out his plan. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that preacher of righteousness, as he's described here in 2 Peter, verse 5 in chapter 2. Oh, praise the Lord. One man. You know, the difference of one person. You might be very few among a crowd. There might not be many people that are willing to stand up for the ways that are right. But oh, praise the Lord for that one voice that can be heard, that one individual who's willing to stand up against the evil, all the perversions, all the occultism, oh yes, all the new age junk that is in the face of this earth. Thank God for one person, one voice that yet can be heard. And because of Noah's voice, because of, yes, that fact that he was a preacher of righteousness, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that world was spared. Oh yes, not the people, and not anything except those that were on the ark. But praise the Lord, because of Noah, we are here today. Amen. And then here in this chapter of 2 Peter, it goes on to describe another incident when God severely judged the situation. It tells us in verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Oh, it was pretty horrible in the day of Lot. Oh my, it was so terrible that God knew that there was only one thing that could be done at that point. Those wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, had to be destroyed. Oh yes, and we know the story, 19th chapter of Genesis, how God sent two angels to Sodom. And there was Lot there sitting at the gate. And oh yes, you know, Lot, he invited those men, those angels, really, into his dwelling. But the wickedness was so, so great that although they should have been safe inside the home of Lot, we have these wicked individuals outside. Oh, outside the home, and it describes such a thing that, you know, when it was time for them to retire, to go to sleep, that these men of Sodom, they surrounded that house. It says both old and young, all the people from every quarter in verse 4 here in this 19th chapter of Genesis. And all, they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." And then, you know, I don't agree with what he offered here, but I praise the Lord this did not happen. "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And all these vicious individuals, these Sodomites, which were gathered outside his dwelling. Oh, it's a horrible thing. Verse 9, it says, "And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Oh, what a wicked, wicked bunch. Oh, you can hardly believe what is stated here in this chapter. Oh, it is so wicked. So abominable. But that's why God found it necessary to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, we know the story. It was necessary, oh yes, to get Lot out of that city. And yes, Lot and his wife and two of his daughters, the other children, wouldn't hear of it. But oh, praise the Lord, those four made their escape. And, you know, not that, you know, it was entirely good, because we know that Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah were in her heart. And oh yes, she wasn't ready to leave. But oh my, it tells us here in 2 Peter 2 that God used these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah as an example, or as an example that would relate to those that should live ungodly. And it talks about how Lot was delivered. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Oh, it was a vexation day and night for him to hear their talk, the filth that came out of their mouths and the manner of life that they were living. I know. If you have to go out in the world and work, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot of vexations for the Christian, even in this world today. You have to work among the ungodly, or even live among the ungodly. God knows. But oh yes, Lot knew what that was like. That vexation, and oh my, God made a way that he could be delivered, praise the Lord. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh my, there is much vexation in this world. I know at that point when same-sex marriage was made lawful, or that oh my, you could sense a great difference in attitudes. It seemed like, you know, to those that were of that ilk, that they were seizing the day and you know, declaring, now it's different. And now they were going to come out of their closets and make themselves known. And I can remember, oh yes, that vexation. I remember a discussion. I was with Brother Tim. We were having a lunch at a co-op, and oh my, we were talking about what had just happened. And oh my, all at once there was this man right in our face. And oh my, he was obviously a sodomite. And oh my, he was angry. And I remember God gave me words. And I don't know exactly entirely what I said, but I believe I told him, you know, in spite of what you might think, there is a righteous God. And his judgment will be final. His laws are right. And one day you are going to stand before God, the righteous judge, and give an account of your deeds. And the things that are not lawful in his sight are not going to be excused. Oh my, I don't know. That man did turn away, and I don't know what happened thereafter. But all I know is, there is a need. Oh, there is a lot going on in this world. Oh, yes, to cause the wrath of God. And yes, as we read of Lot's experience, and we can understand, oh, yes, living in that kind of environment with those kind of people. And I believe he perhaps was a judge among them, you know, but he had to hear it. He had to see it. And they're not, you know, oh, they're not pretty to watch. But oh my, his righteous soul, it tells us, was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh, it's a horrible thing to see. It's a horrible thing indeed. But praise the Lord, in spite of what is all around us, in spite of what could be a political climate, the viewpoints of many people, in spite of their lifestyles, and oh yes, the way they think, the way they talk, the way they dress, there is a righteous God. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, I'll tell you what, unless there is repentance, there is judgment forthcoming, and it is going to be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's going to be a terrible thing. Oh, yes, for God has witnessed this all. There is that day of accounting. And oh my, how we want to be right in the sight of God. How we want to, oh yes, to be those that are delivered by the hand of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. And yes, He knows how. I find this ninth verse so reassuring. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And He says in verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Oh my, I believe we're seeing those kind of spirits rise up in the world today, right around us. Talks about that lust of uncleanness, that lust of perversion, all kinds of those abominable things, including homosexuality and all those things that come forth because of it, and all those other perversions that are very much a part of this world today. And then it talks about those that despise government. And I believe that's talking about this anarchy spirit that is very prevalent in our world today. And you know, people that despise God's ways, His laws, His morals, His concepts. We are seeing these things happen right now before us. Oh, it's been happening for a while. The world has changed drastically over these last years. I mean, even in my lifetime, and probably in yours too, you maybe saw, yes, abortion becoming legal. Who would ever think it? How could murder become lawful? And oh yes, as I mentioned already, homosexual marriage also becoming legal, something that is accepted in our world today. And now we're seeing things like the transgender movement, and on it goes, all the horrendous abominations that are part of our society today. But oh yes, I believe this 10th verse is discussing that. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Oh yes, it covers a whole lot of areas of perversion and despise government. Oh, that anarchist spirit that we're seeing. It's risen up. It's right before us. It's been widespread. We've seen unbelievable things these last few months. I don't know what we've got ahead. Oh, it says, presumptuous are they. Oh, yes, they're bold, they're brazen. Yeah, they presume a lot of things. Self-willed. Oh, yeah, there's a spirit about them. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Oh, yes, that brazen spirit. Oh, yes, as they're trying to promote, oh, yes, their lifestyles, their way of thinking, and to bring it upon the rest of the world. Oh, it's a horrible thing. But I am so glad that, oh yes, there is a God in heaven, and He sees it all. He knows it all, and that day of His judgment is forthcoming. Oh, we are getting close, folks. It is time, oh yes, to realize that the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. Oh, we are seeing it, and we know that these things must come to pass. Because our God is going to come. It's going to be over. And these things will be judged by the righteous judge. Amen. Amen. I want to go right now to the third chapter of Daniel. Talk about a mighty deliverance that took place back in that time. Praise the Lord. Here in this third chapter of the book of Daniel, we hear of this image that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, made. It was a very big image. It says its height was 60 cubits and its breadth thereof 6 cubits. And Nebuchadnezzar had made it of gold, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then, oh yes, he called for all the peoples to come and gather together. It mentions princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And yes, you know, a very big event, very great celebration. And so, yes, they all assembled, they all came. You know, this was law, you know, you had to come and you know, respect this celebration. And then there was a herald that made a cry, and in verse 4 tells us that a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalteries, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So yes, here's the warning, you know, they were all called to this celebration. And oh yes, oh, the trumpeters sounded, the heralders made their news broadcast. And that command came forth that all the people, all people, nations, and languages, all of them, when they heard that sound of these instruments, they were all to fall down and worship that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And if they did not, they would be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Well, we know it came to pass that, oh yes, that certain time when, oh yes, the music sounded, and it seemed that the people fell down to worship. But it was noticed, it was observed that there were three individuals that did not obey this observance. Namely, it tells us in verse 12, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, oh yes, he wanted this worship. This was his command, and he couldn't, bear to have anybody defy it. Tells us in verse 13 that Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up?" Now he's going to give them another opportunity. Verse 15 tells us, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour to the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Oh, he thought he was supreme. And here he's even challenging God, this King Nebuchadnezzar. But I love, oh yes, the trust, the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. And they were able to answer in verse 16. "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Oh my, here they were. They were going to stand fast. They were going to confess their faith and trust in God and saying, He is able to deliver us. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, regardless, O King, we're not going to bow down to thy gods. We are not going to worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for such faith. I thank God for such faithfulness. Oh, these three men who are willing to stand up and declare their faith in God and not acquiesce to the whims of this king. Praise the Lord. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was angry. Verse 19 says, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1-7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Oh, so hot, you can't imagine it. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And here it goes. Oh, they're going to do it. But verse 21 tells us, Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Oh, what an amazing thing here. It tells us in verse 24, Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. There was Jesus with them in that fiery furnace. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know right now that our God is not going to abandon us when we need Him the most. Oh, no, He's going to be with us in the midst of the fiery furnace, whatever that trial might be, whatever that burden might be. Oh, yes, in these times that we live, we don't know. But we do know that God is able to deliver us. And I love the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, yes, stated so clearly. It was in their hearts. It was in their souls. It was in their beings. And oh, they could say, we're not, regardless of anything, going to serve thy gods, O King. We're not going to worship that golden image, O King. And praise the Lord, God honored their faith. He honored their trust, and God delivered them. Oh, what a sight that must have been. Oh, yes, they were cast into that overheated fiery furnace. And the men that cast them in were killed by that heat. That was instantaneous. These three, oh, the amazing thing, they were so delivered. It was such a miracle because not only were they visible, standing loose from their, all the things that had bound them, all the ropes or ties or whatever all that had bound them, but they were loose and they were walking. They were walking in the midst of the fire and they didn't have any hurt. And beside that, oh yes, there was a fourth man with them. Oh, and he was like unto the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord our God is with us. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 43 verse 2, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. And oh, just as he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, what an amazing, astonishing thing. Oh, they marveled, oh, the men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. There wasn't a hair of their head that was singed even. There wasn't not even the smell of fire upon them and their coats, you know. They were damaged from the flames, oh, from the heat, from the furnace. Praise the Lord. And oh, what a testimony. Oh, it tells us in verse 28 of this chapter, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's going to pay to worship God, to stand fast on his promises and not give in to the whims of man. Oh, we don't know what all is happening. I know there's talk about a vaccine, and I was grateful that President Trump said that, you know, he didn't see any way he could make it mandatory if it would come to pass. On the other hand, I know Mr. Biden has talked about making it mandatory. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of talk about this. I know there's links to tracking and tracing possibilities. I know I've heard that this vaccine could have some characteristics that would alter our DNA if we would receive it. I don't know. I don't know what's coming forth. Of course, we know that the book of Revelation talks about the mark of the beast. And all of this that is coming forth upon the face of the earth, we're seeing things, oh, that we have never seen before. These are hours like we've never heard of before, these things that are coming to pass. But for sure, we need the love of the truth in our heart. Oh, we need to have a love for our God beyond any passions of men. Oh, Lord, you know, more than anything else in this world, we need to fear and love God and serve him and hold out and be faithful. Again, we don't know what is ahead, but you know, we have a God that knows how to deliver us. Oh, yes, a God that knows how to set us free. And I know one thing, regardless of the outcome, even if we give our life for the cause of the Lord Jesus, all the dividends that he pays are going to be so worth it. Oh, yes, the inheritance that he has for his people, the hope that is within us. Oh, yes, as we rule and reign with God. Oh, yes, as his sons and his daughters. Oh, it's going to be beyond anything we could imagine. It's going to be so worth it. Oh, yes, to overcome. And oh, yes, to be able to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Oh, we don't want anything to stand in our way. Oh, we don't want anything to hinder us. We serve a mighty God. And oh, yes, we know that regardless of what happens on this earth, it's temporary. It's just for a moment. It's all going to vanish away. It's all going to pass away. And it's the things that we've done for the Lord. Those are the things that are going to count. That's what's going to matter when we see the Lord. We don't want anything to separate us from God. We don't want any sin in our hearts to stand before us in our God. No, we want to hear him say, well done. And all praise the Lord, just as our faithful God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know he can deliver us. He can make a way of escape. I don't know how or when or any of the details. But our God can do all things. And there is nothing too hard for him. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, as I get ready to close, let's turn to Psalms 34. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is a Psalm of David. It tells us here in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, yes, he cried in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is faithful. Our God comes through. He hears the cries of his people, and he knows how to deliver his beloved. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, how we need to exalt his name together. Oh, yes, how we need to make our boast in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord and magnify our God. Oh, worship him. Oh, in the spirit of holiness. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Praise the Lord. Oh, this beautiful chapter goes on to say, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, the Lord hears your cries. He knows your problems. He knows your pain. He knows your grief. He knows your needs, your financial difficulties, or your burdens, or the things that are going wrong. But praise the Lord, we can cry out to the living God. And oh my, those that rely on God are not going to be ashamed. Oh, it tells us in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord, just as, oh yes, there was, yes, one like unto the Son of God there with the three Hebrew children. But so the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Oh, we're not alone in this world. We have the angels of God surrounding us. Oh, yes, so that nothing can harm us and hinder us and destroy us. Oh, unless the Lord would know it's our time and allow such. But praise the Lord, oh, he's there to deliver. And it says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Praise the Lord. God knows how to provide for every aspect of our life. No matter what it is. No matter if you can't sleep or you're in a depression or you've got financial problem and you've got a spouse that hates you. Whatever all, God knows how to deliver. He knows how to set free. And he knows how to give us the things that we have need of. And it goes on to say in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. He hears you when you cry. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering, and he's there. He's there, that present help in the time of trouble. Oh, yes. Verse 17. Well, let's see. I guess I'm not sure where I left off, but let's do 15 again. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17 tells us, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, some may trust in chariots and some in horses. Oh, no, our trust isn't supposed to be in government anyway. Hi, there's people, you know, they're vulnerable. They have problems. You know, they don't always see things right. They make mistakes. But, oh, yes, as the children of the Lord, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise the Lord. We know that our God is able to save and to deliver. Oh, that he hears the cries of his people. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. And as it tells us in this 34th Psalm, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, praise the Lord. We are living in perilous times. Oh, yes, we don't know what tomorrow may bring. But one thing we know, as it tells us in 2 Peter, that 2nd chapter, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Oh, praise the Lord. If our life is in God's hands, all will be well. He is able to deliver us. He is able to take us through this world. And oh, yes, bring us through this world so that we are without spot and blemish and able to stand before him. Oh, yes, this is his own children. Oh, yes, without sin. Praise the Lord. And oh, he knows how to deliver us from this world of sin and out of all the temptations that come forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, with his help, we're going to make it, folks. Brothers and sisters, we're going to make it through this world. Somehow, by the grace of God, he's going to help us. He's going to be there to hear our cry. He's going to be there to deliver us out of all our troubles. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Have you given it all over to Jesus? Are you serving him? Are you, oh, yes, realizing that he is your deliverer, your savior, your soon coming king? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, give us that kind of strength. Oh, yes, to believe in thy promises, to stand on them. Oh, yes, you're the solid rock. And oh, yes, you're not movable. You're not changeable. Oh, God, and we want to abide, oh, Lord, under that rock, Lord, in that rock. Oh, Lord, in thy promises. And, oh, God, we know that you are our deliverer, Lord. Work in our hearts. Move, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, let the cries of your people be heard. I pray that you would pour out of your spirit, Lord. I pray that you would deliver. I pray that you would heal, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that your presence would come down. Oh, Lord, as we cry out to you, Lord, as we, oh, God, give our hearts over to thy ways, oh, Lord, and to thy promises. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, God, we stand on thy promises and know that you can and will deliver us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, yes, he is our deliverer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise thy name, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals in closing to number 175 and sing, He is able to deliver thee, number 175. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee, is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain, 'tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we close tonight, I do know that we have an urgent prayer request from Rob and Tori. From what I understand, their daughter Gabby is very sick, and it might be COVID. I believe she is on the way to the hospital, so we are going to pray for Gabby right now and ask the Lord to touch her. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night on behalf of Gabby. We pray, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We ask, Lord, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We pray, Lord, that whatever this illness is, we pray, Lord, that if it is COVID, we ask, Lord, that she would be touched and healed by thy
saving power, Lord, for we know that thou art the healer. We know that nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art almighty God. We know, O God, that by thy stripes we are healed. So we lift up Gabby before thee, Lord. We pray, Lord, that all would be well. We're trusting in thee. We're believing in thee for a good report. We ask, O God, that thy hand would be upon her. Move upon her in a mighty way, Lord. Talk to her. We pray, let her feel thy presence, we ask. And we pray, Lord, that thou would comfort her, Lord, in this uncertainty that she's facing right now, Lord. We ask, O God, for a good report from thee, for we know, O God, that thou art able to perform it. Touch her right now, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And good night to all of you. God bless. Stay safe out there. Praise the Lord.